from the interns here. So we've got three interns, and they're going to share some brief testimonies. And the first is Becca. Come on up, Becca. Becca came into the intern program a little bit late this year, and we're just so blessed to have her in the intern program. So go ahead, Becca.
So when I was trying to figure out what to say, I was really trying to focus on like a word that the Lord would give me. But the more I focused on what the Lord would like give me for a word, the more he was pushing me for my testimony. And he really highlighted how testimonies are stories of our personal encounters with the Lord and just how he moves in our lives. And about how when Jesus was in the land, how he used stories even as he taught. And so I really felt like the Lord was really highlighting my testimony and just how I feel like I have a lot of shame in my testimony, but he was really showing me the power that he can use within it. And so my story is I grew up in a very strict Christian home where I was constantly taught about the goodness of God, to where even when I was younger, in my younger years, I just constantly wanted to be closer to God, to where even as I fell asleep at night, I'd have my Bible open underneath my pillow because I felt like that was a way I could be closer to him. But in the knowledge of knowing God, there was also the knowledge of knowing what pain was. And the pain of not only the consequences of my sin, but the consequences of other sins in my life. And so from a very young age, my siblings and I suffered through sexual abuse of my father. The second week into COVID, my mom passed away, and she was probably the most passionate, compassionate person you would ever meet. And then my home life became so toxic that it led to suicide ideation. And so it was attack after attack after attack. And as I felt like a wounded soldier, you could say, something that was really evident in my life was God and his presence and just how he really encountered me and his goodness and his purpose really was highlighted in my life. How he showed me that any wisdom from our mouths was just foolish. How any pleasure from the world was any appeal and likeness from anyone. How any like alcohol or sex or anything like that was nothing compared to the goodness of him. And how our purpose is not found in what the world tells us to be in order to be successful. He really highlighted for me that in order to find goodness, we have to find him. And in that, he shows that power sometimes within our testimonies and sometimes within the shame that we don't want to address or we don't want to tell people about because that's the enemy binding us by it. But he brings power through it. And so a verse that really showed up for me was Revelations 12:11, where it states that and they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. For they did not have love of their life. They did not fear death. And so I just really want to encourage anyone who has fear in sharing their testimony, who has fear in sharing their story, because they're held by the shame, they're held by the anxiety, or they're held by the pain and the sorrows, that the power of your story in itself is bigger than the enemy, that it itself can defeat your enemy. And so I just want to encourage everyone to don't be afraid to share your story.
Thanks, Becca. What's up, church fam? How we doing? like I said earlier, my name's Evan, and a lot of you guys know me as an encourager and an evangelist and a high school leader, but a lot of you guys don't know me, and you know, part of when Pastor Scott asked us to share our testimonies, you know, I had this story on my heart, and, you know, we talked and we figured it might actually be better to share that instead. And, you know, I really like a lot of things that Becca had to share, you know, these topics of, you know, shame and, you know, how the beauty of a story and everything. I think so often in our church, we get into, like, when we're hearing a testimony, you know, so often we hear, you know, I was bad, and then I met Jesus, and everything's good. And I think a lot of you guys who, you know can look at your own testimonies know, wait, that's not where it ends, right? And, you know, I stand here before you guys with a story that's actually pretty shameful. You know, I stand here before you guys with, you know, something that didn't even really happen like a couple months ago. I stand here to talk to specifically people who may be sitting here right now in this church congregation that are dealing with shame, right? Maybe you're not right with God right now. Maybe you've made a mess a complete mess of grace. I want to tell you guys, you're in good company. You know, maybe there's a couple people in this congregation right now who is singing, I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb, right? By his stripes, I'm made clean. And you just feel like such a hypocrite in your words. I want to tell you, you're in good company right now, you know. So without further ado, you know, I'll get into my story. You know, yeah, this happened a couple months ago. I was asked to, you know, go shadow a church in Ashland. And, you know, I go over there. I'm stoked and everything. But I was still deeply in sin. And the entire week, you know, just completely and carelessly and recklessly living right in my hidden sin life, hidden sin pattern. And by the end of the week, I was so messed up by it that I'm like, dude, I just need to leave. And thankfully, you know, the pastor there, unaware of this, gave me some advice because I was just like, man, I just feel like I haven't really taken time to really take advantage of this time to shadow your church and everything. He's like, well, maybe, man, you just need a break. You know, maybe you just need some rest and to be in with the Lord. And so, you know, I took that advice and I drove as far as I could from that church, 30 minutes out by a lake in Ashland. If you guys know anything about Ashland, it has these beautiful mountains, you know, this beautiful nature in there. And so I kind of just got led by the Lord. I just drove without a plan or anything. And you know, he just put on my heart, hey, find a lake nearby. And there just happened to be a lake in front of me. And so I drive, and I'm still directed by the Lord and still tempted, still feeling that shame, that weight on myself. I've made a mess of grace. Man, I just feel so disgusting right now. And God's like, that's cool, man. Just keep going. Just keep going. And so, you know, I'm with God in this moment, and he's taking me deep into the forest. And, you know, I'm kind of going around the perimeter of the lake, and I'm going off to this kind of trail out there, and God's just like, hey, take this exit. So I go, and there's this, like, log in the way, and so I stop my car, and God's like, okay, get out and start walking. I'm like, where are you taking me, God? You know, where do we go from here? And so I just keep walking, right? And then I see this kind of clearing, right? And there's there's clearing. It's a sunny day, and, you know, the sun is shining on a log. God says, go sit right there. And so I step away and I go and I sit on this log, and I want to kind of tell you guys, like, just where my heart's at right now, because I was just where I was at with God. I felt so far away from him, and yet I felt so desperate, right? Because I said, you know, God, I can't hear from you right now. I actually want to leave right now, but I know if you don't work in this moment in a miraculous way, I'm going to stay in the same sin pattern for the next weeks, months, who knows? And so I said, you know what? I'm going to sit here and wait for you because I need you, right? I was desperate. And so I'm sitting on this log, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And throughout that entire time that I'm waiting, I, like, with a sin-torn heart, I'm just like, God, like, give me something because I want to leave right now. You know, but I know if I leave, I'm going to go back in that sin pattern. And so I'm waiting. And as I'm waiting, I feel the sunlight on my face, right? And God put Numbers 6, 24 to 25 on my heart. He said, it was this blessing, right, that was given to God's people in the time. He said, God said, or they're saying, may he bless you and keep you. May he make his countenance or his face shine on you. And in that moment, I felt his face shine on me, right? In my aloneness, I felt seen. You guys, I don't know if anybody here is just, like, struggling, you know, to just feel seen right now, but God sees you, right? And so, like, I'm here being seen, and I'm like, okay, God, where do we go from here, you know? Because I'm struggling right now, man, but you see me. So what do you want to tell me? What do you have for me? You know, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And as I'm sitting on this dead log, right, I'm like, all right, what do you have for me? And God, like, brings my attention to the fact that, hey, this, like, this dead tree, right? It lived its whole life, grew big and tall and strong just to die. And I think, you know, what he was telling me in that moment is, like, there's so many Christians, right, in our church that do so much wonderful things for God just to live a big, you know, and have that sin issue and die secretly. And I felt like God was putting me in a crossroads in that moment. He said, Evan, do you want to live the rest of your life just to die a big, dead, dumb tree? And then he turned my attention to the tree that was right in front of me, and, you know, I saw it standing strong and tall, but like the one I was sitting on, it too was gray, and it had no leaves on its branches, and it was leaning towards me, and I realized, oh, this thing could fall at any moment. God, please don't let this thing kill me. So I'm, you know, God's like taking me through this moment where, you know, he's like, okay, like, look at this one too, right? It looks alive, yet it's dead inside. And then I looked around me, and I wasn't laying on one tree. I was laying in a pile of dead trees, right? And it was this beautiful moment, right, where God just said, like, you know, yeah, I see you, kid. You know, I see you've made a mess of things. Yet I still have wonderful plans for you. What do you want to choose, right? Do you want to grow to be a big tree that, you know, looks great for my kingdom, but inside is dead? Or, you know, do you want to choose something else? And, you know, I took this as a moment to kind of meditate, and I'm just kind of like looking around, you know, to how to answer that question. And God turned my attention right by this seedling that was like sprouting out of the ground right by the bunch of dead trees. And I'm like, God, like, I see this seedling right here, you know? It's growing. It's like, it looks healthy, and it looks like it has the rest of its life to live, you know? And I want to be like this. I want to be like this seedling. I don't want to be like this dead tree that has no, that's just only headed towards destruction, right? And, you know, that's my encouragement today to you, church. You know, have you made a mess of grace? Are you sitting here right now and you're torn up inside? Are you mouthing the words, I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb, and feel like a hypocrite? God's not done with you, right? He has a plan for you. And I just want to finish with, Psalm 78. Now, I don't have the time for it. I'm given like 2 to 4 minutes. So, I'm just going to give you the idea of it, right? And so as I was encouraged by God, right, hey, I have a plan for you. You have the rest of your life to live. I felt so much joy in my heart, right? I felt encouraged and stoked, and you know, I jump off this dumb dead tree, and I'm walking back to my car. And when I get into my car, God puts on my heart, "Hey, flip your Bible open," right? And so I flip my Bible open, and I flip right to Psalm 78. And here's the idea of Psalm 78, right? It says, "It's God's goodness and kindness to a rebellious people." I encourage you guys, anybody who may have like checked off the box of any of the, you know, questions I asked you guys, you know, anybody who is in that place right now, go read Psalm 78. But I want to leave you with this encouragement that, you know, he loves you so much, you know, and he's just so faithful. So, yeah, thank you guys.
Well, I was thinking about what I was going to share, and when it came in, I was joking with Evan. I was like, I hope you share long so that I don't have to share anything, and I can just go back down, sit down. And Evan did, in fact, share a little long. So I was like, you know what, Lord? I'm like, is there something shorter you want me to share? Just kind of like off the top of my head. And when we were backstage praying before, the God just put this picture on my heart of like someone like building this mirror and like bringing it up here and like setting it up. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, yeah, God, I want to be your mirror. And then when we were during worship time, God just kind of started like showing me more of that. And he's like, you know, even just like the idea that both of Becca and Evan were talking about, like their testimonies, is like, you know, a mirror like really explains that so good. Like, just think about like how to make glass and like be in sand and you're just all like mixed up in this craziness, and then you get thrown into a big hot oven and melt. Like, ooh, that's fun. I could just think of times in my life where it's like, yeah, I was like melting right there. And then like putting the foil behind it and building the frame and just standing it up here. And it's like, you know, that's so interesting of like, I just want my life to be a mirror, and that, like the stories that God's given us, that forms that mirror in our life of just melting that glass and making a reflection. And I just pray that God would just teach all of us how to be his mirrors.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing, you guys. That was amazing, really powerful. Okay, we've got a couple more interns that are going to share a special word for us this morning. We're going to start with Ryan, and then we're going to go to Eman, and then Nikolai is going to close up the service for us by leading us through communion and such. So we're going to start with Ryan. Come on up, Ryan. And Ryan, as he indicated before, he's kind of my right-hand guy this year. He's my assistant. And I need assistants like Ryan. He's been amazing. So I so appreciate you, Ryan. So let's give it up for Ryan, you guys.
Morning, everyone. Appreciate if you join me in prayer real quick. I need as much as I can get. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you're doing and all that you've done for our fathers before us and our mothers and for our siblings and just all the human race, Lord, all of your children. You've been so good forever and ever, and you will continue to be so. Thank you for your goodness, for showing us the way, and for saving us out of the world to be like you. I pray that you'd speak through me, as odd as it is to say that, Lord, that you would draw out of me the good that you have done in my life and the lives of those I've seen and witnessed. I pray that your will be done today. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. It's weird to be up here. I've been talking to you guys in my head for like 3 weeks, but, but here you are. I'm also going to be sharing my testimony, and they kind of stole my thunder. They have a lot of good God stuff, all the other interns. And I want to thank you for being so kind to them and listening so attentively and paying attention and listening with your hearts and not just your ears. My testimony is, well, unique in the way that every human being's is unique, but it's kind of a mix of two things that God made me. I'm the exact ordinary average man. I have brown hair, brown eyes. I'm 5'11", white Caucasian male. Like, I'd be lost in any crowd, in this country at least. But I have a very weird inside, I guess, when it comes to the way God made me. I tend to believe that God makes everyone with a certain kind of innate spirit and soul, the part that stays eternal after we die. And mine is very sad. I'm a son of a man who had major depression. Still, I might have it to some degree. And his mother before him had major depressive disorder and schizophrenia. And so it passed on down to me, and since my first memory, I've been depressed. My first memory is actually, there was this colorful circular rug in the middle of the preschool aisle, and that was the dancing rug. Everyone would go there and dance, and the teacher would say, okay guys, you're free to go, no more homework, go dance. And I would just sit there in the little tiny plastic chair and glower at the kids, be like, how stupid you look, like this is silly. I would never dance to save my life. And it's been most of the same since then. Yeah, it's been about 23 years of that. And I'm also a big thinking man. I love to be intellectual. I like reading about the wise men on whose shoulders we stand, as mostly the Bible, but also others. And I always like to think about the thinking men in the Bible, like Solomon and Elihu, who talked to Job, and there was one other. Oh yeah, the Bereans, I love them the most, I think. They're the noble-minded church who tested what the Lord said in the Bible and saw that it was true rather than just believing blindly. And that was a breath of fresh air when I realized that as a young man, that God respects the people who want to know the truth, who want to find the knowledge that he's given us to find. It's not to say that I believe in science over God or in logic over faith, but he does value the noble-minded thought of, I want to know why you do what you do, as much as a man can know what God does. And so to get into my testimony, I knew about God from the very beginning. I don't think I've ever not believed in God. He was as real to me as my father is, and that's never changed. I've never really doubted his existence. But I ignored him and didn't really pay attention to him for most of my childhood. I hated coming to church. I hated singing. And to a large degree, I'm still not a big social person, as you might have guessed from, you know, the being depressed and all that. And I guess the unique part of my testimony that I wanted to share is that there isn't a but and with God, for me at least. I was never miraculously changed. I was never convinced in a major way. I can't even tell you when I came to faith, like saving faith in Christ. There was no distinctive moment, no miraculous minute. I can't tell you the day or the year. I just know that at one point, I believed. And most of that is because, if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, you've heard my testimony already. I, like Solomon, wanted to find out what was worth being in the world for. It was about like 13 years of age that I gave up being a child, and I thought, okay, so what is the point of being alive, and how do I find it? And so I was, well, as a 13-year-old would be, I was very depressed because I realized that there's not much you can do as a 13-year-old. There's not a lot of world to see, not a lot of freedom to explore. And so when I was suicidal at that age, I would tell myself, well, you don't have a girlfriend, you don't have a car, and you don't have a job, so at least wait until you have those things, and then you can make up your mind, like, if it's worth it to be here or not. And then about 6 years later, I had a girlfriend, and I had a car, and I had a job, and I was like, man, this still sucks. Like, life is not great. And it's just like Solomon said, although he was the king and he did things to a much greater extreme than I did, but he also saw the pleasures of the flesh and the pleasures of money, the pleasures of the world, and even intellectualness and or intellectuality and righteousness. And all of them, he said, is vanity. Vanity is all, and everything's chasing after the wind. He's a man after my own heart. And I came to the same conclusion. I realized that the world was not worth it. I was actually decided. I was like, okay, I'm going to check out, see what's in the next world, what's going on with God, you know, what's the big deal up there, what's so great about it. And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to share my testimony today, was because you're not going to hear the same one from a lot of people, because some of us are gone, and the rest of us are too scared to get up here and talk. And I know that all of you have someone in your life who's similar to me, someone who, no matter what happens, even with the Savior of all of creation on, like, behind them and encouraging them, they're still sad. And that's just going to be part of who they are. That's how God made them. There's a lot of ways I could go with that now, but one thing I want to say in respect to our culture, I know that all of us have buzzwords that we're used to hearing these days, but one of them is victim culture and the victimization of, like, we all kind of, like, want those labels and think that it's a cool thing to have. Like, the more traumas you have, the better, in some ways. And that's something that my generation has really gotten professional in. I want to say that with depression, I see it as a blessing from God. And that's a new innovation on my part. That was not something I used to say. But I knew that looking back now, not to say I'm past it, but just looking back at where I used to be, that if I had found any contentment in the world, if my girlfriend then had been enough, if my job had been enough, if money had been enough, I would not have sought God. I would not have hit rock bottom, and I would not have turned to Him. And that's still true today. If God abandons me today, I'm going to heaven tomorrow. Like, there is nothing here that I care about enough to want to be around. And I don't say that to worry anyone. I always tell everyone who's close to me in my life, don't worry about me. I'm with God, and He's taking care of me. Don't feel like you're pressured to do anything. And please, like, I'm okay. But it is true. I will always be tired of being just a human being. And it's not because, like, I have no testimony like the others. I have no trauma in my life, literally. Like, it's kind of ironic that God did that to me, where I'm super average, have all my health, and I was never traumatized, never had a problem in my life. Always had food, always had money, always had the things that I need. And still, I was depressed and suicidal my entire life. It's a very unique testimony because, well, those facts. And it's just so odd to say, because I'm not hopeful now. I'm not happy now. Like, I'm still me. But God is enough. I've only experienced His presence maybe 30 minutes out of the 25 years I've been alive. And those 30 minutes make it worth it. Like, it really is true. He's better than anything on this earth, and we should know that just from the beginning of the Bible. This earth is broken. We're not supposed to be happy here. It's not supposed to make sense. We're not supposed to find contentment here. So for some of you, I feel sorry, because you don't have the same lack of contentment that I do. I'm always discontent, and it's just a fact of life. And so I'm always driven to find God and seek his face because it's the only thing that keeps me going, even in the dark of the night. And that's what I hope for you guys. Not that you would be depressed like I am, and not that you would be downtrodden or traumatized or like sorrow or anything, like woe to the man who tribulations come. But know that that is a good thing in the end. God, as much as it might be hard to think of with the circumstances in your life, everything he allows, and it all can be brought to good. He's just that wise and that good. But it might take some time. It was only like this last month that I thought about the idea of my depression being a blessing. I thought it was just a burden that, you know, it's like the cross to bear. I don't know where I'm at with my 8 minutes of talking. I didn't start my timer, but I feel like I said what I needed to say. And as much, I'm not going to say anything. There's always that you want to leave everyone with hope, want to leave them with encouragement. And I can't say that I'm excited for the next 25 years or the next 50 or the next 75, whatever it may be. Praise God if he ever changes me and I become a very happy man. But I do trust enough in God to keep going and to find hope in him. And I guess we've all read the Bible and we've heard their testimony. But just to say from the lips of someone who's living in the same world that you are, that the truths that you read there, both from the sad and the happy people, it's still true. And like you say, if you ask a man who just came in from outdoors, it's like, was it cold? Yeah, it was cold. He can tell you the truth, and you believe him because he lived it. Well, believe me, I've lived it. It's true, he is worth it. Even if nothing is good on earth, literally nothing brings you joy, it's still worth it. Well, thank you.
That was probably a good time to pray, huh? Okay. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you just for this opportunity that we just all get to be here today. Lord, speak through me and don't let me speak at all. All right, thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. So my name is Emmanuel Quesada. Everybody around here calls me E-Man. So far, you've heard a lot of stories, a lot of personal stories, and how from Becca and from Evan, how God has personally moved in their lives and worked in their lives. You've heard from Emma how you want to be a mirror of God, how she wants to be a mirror of God. And that's true. That's so true. I want to be a reflection of God wherever I want to go. You've heard from Ryan and we've heard from Nick and Caitlin of how God is moving in other countries. And then you've heard from Ryan how the Christian walk isn't always rainbows and butterflies. It's hard. Sometimes it does get hard. It's brutal. But through it, God's still good. From me, you're not going to hear a story. I'm going to give the word. So with that, I'm on a time limit. We're going to get started. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. First of all, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. I'm going to summarize it. Humans mess up a lot. We're really, really good at it. Basically, yeah, we're really, really good at it. Verse 4, though, there's a nice little, but God, right there. But God, whenever there's a but God in the Bible, now is the time to pay attention. Right here, but God is so good. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, then in verse 5 it says, he made us alive together with Christ. Why would he do that? Why would God do that? Well, it says it actually in verse 8, on one of the slides over here. It says in verse 8, it is the gift of God. Cool. Well, what does this say about God? What does this passage say about God? If you have the time for it, I'd highly recommend going through this passage at your own time. It is awesome. Well, what does it say about God? God has unconditional love. What does it say about mankind? We are a lost cause with no hope. Bummer. How can we apply this to our lives? We need Jesus. So that takes us to John 8, 31 through 36. John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That little word abide there, It also can mean walk in step with, or to remain, to obey, or to act in accordance with. So if you remain in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Verse 33, then they answered him. Who's they? Well, all those Jews who believed in him. So they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anybody. How can you say we will be made free? Those people are just like, dude, what do you mean? We're already free. How can you say we're going to be made free? We're already free. Then Jesus says to them in verse 34, then Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, that word assuredly could also mean confidently. So most confidently I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus is saying here, like, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. He's not saying a physical slavery. It's a spiritual slavery. You can't really escape that, can you? And then verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. A slave is not a permanent resident of a household. A slave does not bestow privileges or family power in that household. A slave cannot physically free himself from whatever he's in bondage to. He has to have somebody in higher power to do it for him or her. A son, though, a son is a permanent resident of the household, and a son does bestow that family privilege and power. So if the son makes somebody free, you are free. And the Bible actually says that right here in verse 36. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Cool. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. Jesus speaking. I am the true vine. Well, if there's a true vine, there has to be a false vine somewhere, or a few, or a lot of false vines somewhere. Jesus specifically saying, I am the true vine. The rest of verse 1, and my Father, the vine dresser. Jesus is the true vine, and God the Father is the farmer, or the tender of the farm. And verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so it can bear more fruit. That word prune there could also mean cleanses. So every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses so it can bear more fruit. Verse 3, you already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Verse 4 got me. Big one for me. Abide in me and I in you. Notice here that Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. He doesn't say, I'll abide in you, then you abide in me. Jesus, he's putting you first. Jesus has already initiated this relationship. He did that when he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus is already, he's standing there with his hand open, ready for you to just make the deal. Like, this is a relationship, and for a relationship to work, both sides of the relationship have to do their part. We as Christians already know that Jesus always does his part, whether we like it or not. This is another example of free will from the Lord. If you choose to abide in Christ, then he will abide in you. The rest of verse 4, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. A branch by itself can't do anything. A branch is just a branch. I dare you to go outside, pick up a branch, and go, apple, pear, and nothing's going to work. It's just a branch. It has to be connected to the tree. It has to be connected to life in order to bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Verses 6, 7, and 8. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples indeed. And that relates back to John 8, 31 through 36. I'm not going to read it all because that's a lot to read. I'm just going to condense it real quick. John 8, 31 and 32, If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 35 and 36, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So really, if you don't have Jesus, you're dead in the water headed for the rocks. If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Awesome. You've said that a lot. What about it? Let's add a couple knots in there. Not like tying the knot, like I'm not going to do this kind of knot. So if you do not abide in my word, you shall not know the truth, and you will not be made free. I'm asking a question. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it from over here. Jesus, go, thank you so much. That's awesome. We know that as a fact because Jesus said that in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So really, if you're not abiding in Jesus, if you're not walking in step with Jesus, you're not walking in step with the way, you're not walking in step with truth, and you're not walking in step with life. Crazy how that works, huh? Therefore, you're not walking in step with the life Jesus prepared for you, and you're therefore walking in step with death and in step with the spiritually dead. There's no hope for you in a dying world. But there is one way to combat that. It's to abide in the true vine. It's to abide in Jesus. Walk in step with Jesus. Act in accordance with, remain, or obey Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer. Answer to what? Yes, he is the answer. Answer to this and this and this, yes. But what about this? Yes, Jesus is the answer. Nikolai Baraka, the worship team, you guys can come back up. Today, we have heard as a church that are stories, personal stories of how God's been moving in people's lives. You've heard how God's moving in other churches, or other churches. He is working in other churches, but other countries. You've heard how the Christian walk isn't always rainbows and butterflies. There's not some little sunshine drawn up in the corner sometimes. And that it's hard and it's brutal. But through that, God's still good. Then you've heard of why walking in step with Christ is so monumental. It's important. But maybe you don't know how to walk with Christ. Maybe it's something that you've wanted to do, you did never had the opportunity to. Or we're going to give you the opportunity to, but it's going to come from Nikolai.
Good job, E-Man. No, yeah, you showed. Like, without abiding in the vine, we're dead. And that's been kind of like a theme. Like, we tried to be raw this morning, and through each person saying, it's like, yeah, without God, without actually making God the center, like, there's nothing. And if, just want to slow down and gone kind of fast this morning, so I just want to slow down and just kind of like to give you guys a moment to examine your hearts. Just kind of look inward and just think, like, how am I actually doing? How is my spirit? Like, independent of how you look on the outside, because you could have a vibrant personality, but be dead on the inside. Or dying, or withering. And so I want to give you guys a chance to just slow down, look inward, be like, okay, where am I at? And think, like, do I want to keep holding my branch and saying, apple, apple, come on, something, please be alive? Or do I want to give up in my own power and connect to the true vine? Some of you are right there, and some of you have been connected, but you haven't been abiding, And you've had life in you. You know what it feels like. But you've been withering. And that's a really tough place to be. Because you know what it can be like. And you're like, oh man, I want to get back there. And some of you are already abiding. But you want to go deeper. You're like, no, there's more life. There's more abiding to be done. There's more time where I can just sit and be with God. And I'm going to give you guys all a chance, no matter where you're at this morning. So just think about where you want to be with abiding, where you want to be with God in your heart, your connection to Him. What's like your goal? Just examine that. And think about where you're at right now with abiding in Him, with sitting with Him, with being with Him, with being in communion with Him. And if there's a gap, if there's a difference there, then I want you to close your eyes. And this is between you and God, but it's in front of others. So just, if you're there, if there's a gap in between where you want to be, just close your eyes. God, we want to be close with You. We want to sit with You this morning. I'm not where I want to be with You, God. I want to be closer. I want to be more in step. I want to sit with You and abide with You. Please, God, please come meet me where I'm at. Thank You for always being faithful to be my rock, foundation on which I can build my life because I know it'll never shake. Thank You, God. Thank You. Now you can open your eyes and use this moment, what we're going to move into in communion, what we do with communion, eating the tiny little cracker and drinking the little bit of juice, is we're abiding with God. We're letting Christ's body just come into us, be like, I want this to be like the food I eat. I want this to be like every part of me. And what we're doing is we're celebrating the communion that we have. So if you're in a place where there's like where you could be, but you're not abiding in God, you have not put your faith in Christ, don't feel like the social pressure to come up and be one of the crowd, because it's not for that. It's not for a performance. It's a celebration of communion with God. That's why it's called communion. And so we're going to move into a time of song, and it's going to be individual. You guys can take it at a time, but I encourage you not to do it alone. Look around and how they did in the past. Like, people just like eat together and just sit with, knowing that they're sitting with each other and sitting with God, and just celebrate eating together. So I encourage you guys to eat together in groups, eat the little cracker and drink the juice. And just take a moment to all sit with God and kind of reconcile that difference. Be like, I want to be close with You, God. And if this is a time where you've never been close with God, you've never made a decision to actually commune with Him, be in community with Him, then don't be quiet about it. If you want to, if you don't know how, if you're curious, but you want to, come to me, come to anybody else who spoke, come to the leaders, come to people with neck like lanyards. We want to help. We want to bring you into community with God, because we know that He is the only thing that's truly worth living for. So we're going to move into a time of song. We're going to sing a couple songs. And then you guys can come up at your own pace and grab the cup. There's gluten-free in the middle. But other than that, just grab the two cups. And it's got bread on the bottom, juice on the top. Thank you, guys.